We're going to be dealing with Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. And what we're seeing here is that Christ has provided a better way of life. It is the life of faith. In chapter 11, the fifth major section of Hebrews, which began in 10:19, is continued. In this section, Christ is shown to have provided a better way of life. It is the life of faith. In 10:19 through 25, believers have been called upon to hold fast their confession. Furthermore, in 10:26 through 39, an alternative has been given to those who are wavering. It is either Christ or it is judgment. In chapter 11, some Old Testament examples of faith are cited. In Hebrews 12, 1 through 4, believers will be instructed to follow the examples set by the Old Testament saints and run with patience the race that is set before them. In Hebrews 12, 5 through 17, the purpose of chastisement will be revealed, whereas in 12, 18 through 24, it will be shown that God can be approached through Jesus. Therefore, according to Hebrews 12, 25 through 29, these Hebrews professing faith in Christ, but contemplating abandoning Christ and Christianity, should not refuse God, or they will not escape. In 13, 1 through 21, some miscellaneous practical exhortations will be shown. I hope you'll understand that we must keep things in context as we go through the scriptures. And that's why we do this reviewing from time to time, even in anticipation of what's coming. In 10:36, the readers were told that they have need of patience or endurance in order that after they have done the will of God, they might receive the promise. What these believers were enduring was normal for the Christian life. The promise will come, but it will not come until after trials and afflictions are endured in the Christian life in accordance with the will of God. In chapter 7, numerous examples of Old Testament saints are cited as examples in confirmation of this. In verse 1, we see a definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In Hebrews 10:39, it was stated that the writer believes his readers are of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. This was reflected in their lives. In verse 1, a description of faith is given, followed by a description of action based on faith. Now indicates a progression of the thought. Faith, meaning belief or trust, is described as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Is indicates that this is always the case. Substance means confidence, assurance, steadfastness, or conviction. In the New Testament, believers have hope, and they are able to have confidence in this hope because they know that the things characterized by their hope are going to come to pass. Hope is not merely things for which people wish. Hoped for means expected or foreseen. Similarly, the woman who has not yet conceived may be hoping for a baby. But the woman who has conceived has confidence that she will eventually give birth to her baby and is said to be expecting a baby. It's only a matter of time before her expectation will be realized. And you know, we have a lady in our church who is expecting a baby. I'm sure she can't wait to see that baby's face. And I'm guessing the rest of you would also like to see that little baby. We like to have babies in our church. So, all of us older folks, let's get busy. See if what we can produce, all right? Yeah, right. Arlene and I, we'd like to have twins, but don't count on it, all right? Don't count on it. There's a difference between the idea of hope as wishful thinking and hope as confident expectation. This faith is not only a substance of things hoped for or expected, but it is also the evidence of things not seen. Evidence is proof, a proving of, or a conviction about. Believers have a hope of confidence, but it has not yet been proven by seeing it realized. Of things not seen is of matters or of affairs not seen. The believer's confidence is something which is yet future and has not yet occurred as a consequence. They hope for it, but they do not yet see it. They expect it, knowing it's coming, but it has not yet come to pass. It's like that with our salvation, isn't it? We can see evidence that we have been saved because our lives have been changed. But our salvation is not yet finished. We hope that it will soon be finished at the rapture. But we don't know when that's going to come to pass. And it may not come to pass for a long time. I know there's a lot of talk these days about how it's going to be soon. Well, it's been going to be soon for 2,000 years. We'd like it to come, but we may not see it in our lifetimes. Meanwhile, we must live our lives for the Lord, waiting for Him to come. He'll come. It's only a matter of when. It's also a matter of if we'll still be here, or whether we will have passed on and our bodies have gone to the grave, but our souls have gone to be with the Lord Himself. In verse 2, we see that by their actions, the elders demonstrated the existence of their faith. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. 4 introduces an explanation. It's understood in the sense of because. By it is by this, or because of this, where this refers to faith. By or because of faith, the elders, it refers to the Old Testament saints, who are going to be mentioned in the rest of chapter 11. They obtained a good report. It means they were well spoken of. They were approved. They were attested. They were praised for something. Many good things are going to be testified regarding some Old Testament saints in chapter 11. And the reason this is all being done is because their faith, because of their faith, their actions demonstrated that their faith existed. It's important for us to realize that our actions also demonstrate if our faith exists. But the actions of some people seem to be evidencing the thought that their faith does not exist. Those who claim to be saved but live like the devil don't seem to have any faith, do they? We don't know. We look on the outward appearance. We're not satisfied. The Lord knows, but we don't. Next, we see in verse 3 that by faith we understand that God created the worlds out of nothing. Why did He create the worlds out of nothing? because nothing existed for him to use to create them. What about these gases people talk about? They've got too many gases floating around in their heads. There were no things available for God to use until he created them. But those who want to explain away God have to come up with some semblance of an explanation as to how we got here. But they've done it in a manner that totally removes God. And then, how do they get to heaven? Well, they don't worry about that because there isn't any heaven in their thinking. Too bad. They need to realize there is one, and there's also a hell to shun. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Through faith is the same word translated by faith consistently throughout the rest of this chapter and should be understood in this sense in this verse as well. Inasmuch as nobody was present to observe the creation, we accept it by faith. We believe it happened just as the Bible says it happened. We understand is used of rational reflection or of inner contemplation and means we perceive, we apprehend, or we gain an insight into. What is understood is that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The worlds refers to the creation. Were framed suggests were prepared, were made, or were created. By the Word of God is by God's spoken word, by what is said by God, or by a saying of God, or by an expression of God. In other words, God spoke and brought the creation into existence by what he said. So that suggests with the result. Things which are seen refers to things which are able to be seen. These are things that are a part of this creation. Things which are seen were not made, is have not come to be, have not come into existence, or have not come to pass. The tense of were made indicates action completed in the past whose result has continued on. They were not made of things which do appear, is out of things appearing or out of things which are visible. In other words, God made the worlds out of nothing. This is clear because nothing existed prior to God speaking it into existence. It is interesting that some people do not accept by faith the idea that there is a God who created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. Instead, they accept by faith the idea that the heavens and earth and everything in them just happened to come into existence. Of course, this takes a whole lot more faith than believing that God created them. But everybody believes that everything came to pass. They believe it by faith because nobody was there to observe it. They can believe whatever they want. We choose to believe what God has said in his word, and we believe that we have the truth without any question. In addition, we see in verse 4 that Abel demonstrated his faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. Beginning in verse 4, some instances of faith or heroes of faith from the Old Testament are seen. By faith is by means of faith or because of faith. Abel is the son of Adam and Eve. Offered means brought an offering or presented an offering unto God is to God, and indicates that God is the one to whom this offering was presented or offered. What Abel offered was a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now take note of that, more excellent. That tells you that Cain's sacrifice was actually excellent, but it wasn't more excellent. It suggests a more excellent sacrifice or offering than the sacrifice or offering Cain offered. Cain is another son of Adam and Eve and a brother of Abel, by which refers to the offering Abel made. He obtained witness that he was righteous. It's literally that he was righteous was attested. In other words, the sacrifice Abel offered resulted in testimony being given on his behalf that he was a righteous individual. God testifying is God bearing witness of his gifts, is over his gifts. God is thus testifying regarding the sacrificial gifts Abel made. And by it is through it. It means that it is through the sacrifice or offering, or by means of the sacrifice or offering that Abel made. He, being dead, suggests although he or Abel died. Of course, we know that Abel was murdered by his brother Cain. Yet speaketh is still he, that is Abel, is still speaking. Although Abel is dead, the example of his faith still speaks to believers today. Now, I didn't put Genesis 4, 1 through 8 in your notes, but I put them in mine this morning, and I want to read them for you. Genesis 4, 1 through 8. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, meaning he was very angry. And his countenance, meaning his face, fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why are you very angry? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And it means that sin is crouching at your door. And unto thee shall be his desire, meaning sin is desiring to rule over you. And thou shalt rule over him, but you must rule over it. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew, meaning killed or murdered him. Sin is desiring to rule over you. Sin is crouching at your door. And he fell victim to it instead of ruling over it. You know, you and I have need to bring sacrifices to God also, but not animal sacrifices. Ours might be thanks. They might be praise. How about they might be giving yourself to the Lord as a living sacrifice, to live the rest of your life for him who loved you and died on the cross for your sins. Let's give our lives to him. Let's live the rest of the lives that we have ahead of us to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus. We furthermore see, as we move on into verse 5, that Enoch demonstrated his faith. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. In verse 5, another hero of faith is introduced. This time it's Enoch. By faith is because of faith. It provides the reason Enoch was translated. It was because of his faith, his belief, or his trust. Enoch is the Old Testament character whom God translated to heaven. The episode regarding Enoch is found in Genesis 5, 21 through 24, where it is stated that after Enoch begot Methuselah, he walked with God 300 years. Then it is stated that Enoch was not, for God took him. We read that in Genesis 5, 21 through 24. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And he begat sons and daughters. How many? We have no clue. Many, it sounds like. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Was translated means literally changed the position of. And it's used in the sense of was conveyed to another place, was put in another place, was transferred, or was taken up. In other words, Enoch was taken up to heaven from the earth where he had been living, and his being taken up is a picture of the rapture of believers. That shows purpose or intended result. And it's understood in the sense of in order that or so that. He should not see death indicates the reason Enoch was translated. Death is speaking here of physical death. And was not found indicates that no one could find Enoch's body. And of course, the reason no one could find his body is that he did not die and did not experience a separation from the soul, of the soul from the body. His body was not left behind. If the rapture comes, will your body be left behind? Probably so. You'll find out. We don't know. The body is going to go to the grave. Your soul will go to be with the Lord. We don't know. We're going to see, won't we? You won't need your old body anymore. Some of us have lived a long time in the old body, and it's getting older every day. Some of you younger ones, your body's still getting older every day. But ours are wearing out, some of us. That's why you need to help us out in our old age, right? When we get mature. People like Ed need help, okay? You understand that? He's just getting more and more mature every day. I'm sure glad it's not happening to me, right? Don't I wish? Not really. We want to go to be with the Lord, both Ed and I. We're ready. But God's got something more for us to do meanwhile. He was not found. Why not? Because God had translated him. It's the reason Enoch was not found. Translated is the same word used in the previous phrase, which means changed the position of, conveyed to another place, put in another place, transferred or took up. God is the one who translated Enoch. This was a miracle. God removed him from the physical realm of the earth and took him. Why? Well, somehow we weren't told that, were we? So your guess is as good as mine, but God had a reason, and God did exactly what he intended to do. Although it does not say where he took him, it is naturally assumed that he took him to the place where he himself dwells, meaning to heaven. 4 indicates that a reason is about to be given to explain why Enoch was translated and why Enoch should not see death. Before his translation indicates that during Enoch's lifetime, prior to his removal or to his being taken up, he had this testimony. Means he was well spoken of, or he was approved. Testimony was made regarding him. It's literally, he had been testified of. The tense of he had this testimony indicates that his testimony was made regarding Enoch at some time in the past, and that the result of it continued until the time of his translation. Apparently, God is the one who testified of him. The testimony was that he pleased God. Now, the only way one can obtain a good testimony is to live the way he ought to live. And God approved of the way Enoch lived. Wouldn't it be good if all of us could have God's testimony that each of us pleased him? The only way we'll ever get that is to live the way we're supposed to live, and that's taught in the Bible. Let's do that. Let's seek to please God in everything in our lives, in spite of our having old sin natures. As we move on, we see in verse 6 that pleasing God requires faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 6 indicates a general truth regarding pleasing God and the necessity of faith in pleasing God. Yet it is given in the specific context of anyone trying to please God as Enoch did. But without faith indicates an effort to please God apart from faith, but introduces a contrast with Enoch. And without faith is without or apart from faith, meaning apart from belief or apart from trust. Faith believes God. Faith trusts God. And faith believes God's testimony regarding Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, paid for our sins, and rose again from the dead. And without that belief, that individual will not please God. Faith is part of the salvation process. John wrote that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is impossible to please him means that an unsaved person is not able to please God. In the Old Testament era, people looked forward to the coming of the Messiah and to God's provision of salvation, whereas in the New Testament era, they look backward to it. 4 introduces an explanation of why it is impossible to please him, or why it is possible to be pleasing to him. He that cometh to God is the one coming to God, or the one approaching God. And he must come to God on God's terms. Wasn't that the problem with Cain? He came to God on his own terms. God didn't accept his offering. Abel came to God on God's terms, and God accepted his offering. This is in contrast to Cain, who attempted to come to God on his own terms. Similarly, people today cannot come to God on their own terms, you know, like by being good, by giving money here and there, by trying to live a good life. It only takes one sin to qualify us for the lake of fire. We all You know, we all committed that one sin a long, long time ago. By contrast, Abel came to God in faith, bringing a blood sacrifice. Enoch likewise believed God, and God testified that he pleased him, thus demonstrating that he approached God on God's terms. God's terms include believing, yet one cannot be saved by believing just anything. This belief must be very specific. He must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God's terms start with that must. Must suggests it is necessary that he, or he has to. There's no choice in the matter if he's going to come to God. What the one who comes to God must believe is that he is, meaning that God is, meaning that God exists. That he is speaks of God's deity and of his eternality. There has never been a time when God did not exist. He's not a human being. He's existed forever and ever. The one who comes to God must also believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. A rewarder is literally one who pays wages that are due. Those whom God rewards are those who diligently seek him, and diligently seek suggests earnestly or seriously seek out for him or search for him. Diligently seek is an emphatic form of the word meaning seek. Him is God. They are seeking God with an intensity. And a genuinely saved believer should spend as much time as he can diligently seeking God in the study of the Bible. Finally, we see in verse 7 that Noah demonstrated his faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. In verse 7, a third hero of the faith is introduced. This time it's Noah. By faith is again used to indicate the reason Noah acted, and it's understood in the sense of because of faith, because of belief, or because of trust. Noah acted on the basis of faith and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Being warned of God of things not seen as yet indicates something which occurred before Noah prepared an ark. In addition, moved with fear also indicates something which occurred before Noah prepared an ark. Being warned is having been given a warning or having been given a revelation. It may be showing time or cause. It may be understood in the sense of after he had been warned, after he had been given a warning, or after he had been given a revelation. It may instead be understood in the sense of because he had been warned, because he had been given a warning, or because he had been given a revelation. Of things not seen as yet is concerning the not yet seen things. At the time he was giving a warning, and at the time he began to prepare the ark, Noah could not yet see the things about which he was being warned, yet he believed God and acted in faith. We can't see the things God's warned us about either, like the lake of fire. We can't see what happens at the rapture. We can't yet see the completion of our salvation. We will someday, but it's still out there in the future. We know it because God said so in the Word of God. not because we have observed it personally. But in spite of the fact he could not see these things, Noah did what God told him to do. In spite of the fact that we cannot yet see heaven, we cannot yet see the rapture. We hope we never see the lake of fire. But we believe them because God said so. Moved with fear is understood in the sense of having been afraid of or of having been concerned. It may be showing time or cause. It may be understood in the sense of after he was afraid or after he was concerned. It may instead be understood in the sense of because he was afraid or because he was concerned. His concern or his fear resulted in his doing what God had told him to do. And because we've heard the gospel and believe that God will send those who do not trust Christ as Savior to the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever, we trusted him as our Savior. We believed him. And we acted on that by making Jesus our Savior. Noah prepared, he built, constructed, or erected, and what he built is an ark. Now, this wasn't just a little rowboat. This was a huge thing. How many people did he have helping him? Probably nobody but his sons. We don't really know that, do we? If he had any helping him, it probably wasn't the unbelievers who were present, but we really don't know the answer. But he took 120 years maybe to build it. That's a long time project. Some of you have had experiences with the construction business, and seems to take forever to get things constructed the way they're supposed to be. To the saving of his house indicates the purpose for which Noah built the ark. It is for the purpose of the salvation of his house, or for the purpose of the deliverance of his household. It's the physical salvation or deliverance of his family from the impending flood. Of his house, is of his household, or of his family. It is not that he was concerned with some physical structure, but he was concerned with his wife, his three sons, and his three daughters-in-law, by the which, suggests by means of which, or through which, and indicates through faith rather than through the ark. He condemned as he judged, and what he judged is the world. According to 2 Peter 2:5, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. 120 years before the flood, he had been instructed to build an ark. While the ark was under construction, as he proclaimed righteousness, he also demonstrated his faith in God. Can you imagine what the neighbors were thinking? That man's crazy. It's never even rained. They didn't know what that meant, but it had never rained. Why is he building this big boat? They didn't even necessarily know that it was a boat. But he kept working, and apparently he was doing some preaching and proclaiming. We understand that Christ was preaching through him to people who rejected the message and ended up in confinement following their deaths. His message, as well as his action in building the ark, which was based on his faith, witnessed against the world of unsaved humanity in his own day. When the flood came, this episode in Noah's life became a witness against all future generations who would not live righteous lives based on their faith in God and his word. It should be an example of how we should live based on faith and God's word. Thus he condemned or judged the world, and we likewise, by the way we live, should condemn or judge the world of the ungodly. Not only did Noah judge the world, but also he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. That's what happened with you. When you got saved, you became heir of the righteousness by faith. Became indicates that something new had come to pass, which had not been true previously. It is literally came to be. And what he became is an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Became heir implies that he obtained something by inheritance, and what he obtained is the righteousness which is by faith. Thus, the righteousness which Noah had was not his own. You have the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to your account, but it's not your own. But when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Christ. It's the righteousness which is obtained by believing God. This righteousness is the imputed righteousness which is mentioned in the New Testament. He believed God, and he demonstrated his belief in God by his action in building the ark. How are you demonstrating your belief in God? Is it not by living a godly life in an ungodly world? And yes, it is. As a consequence of Noah's faith, God gave his own righteousness to Noah. As a consequence of your faith in Christ, God has given you the righteousness of Christ. Like Noah, we take God at his word and believe what he said. What he said includes John 3:16, which you know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What God said also includes Ephesians 2:8-9 and a whole host of other verses. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. By believing what God has said and acting upon it, we obtain the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And I might add, we also obtain Christ's righteousness placed in our account. And that's how God views us, as covered by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of knowing that you've provided for our eternal salvation. And our Father, help us always to live faithfully for thee throughout the rest of our lives. Meet the needs of each one listening here in our auditorium, as well as of all those listening over the internet. Thank you for what you have done for us and for many others before us in giving us salvation because of our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for our sins and his subsequent resurrection. We pray that you'll help us to live faithfully for him out of gratitude for what he has done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.